Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
Good evening, Lewis. How are you?
Hello, Moneybags. How are you?
Well, no, let's not talk about that yet. We're going to save that for the show. But, Lewis, we might, by happenstance, have a few more listeners on the podcast this week. Mm. I don't know why. But for people who've never heard the podcast, Lewis, how would you describe it?
It's a great question, Dan. I would describe it as there's chit-chat, there's news, there's climate change, there's interviews. But mostly it's a fundraising campaign. We're essentially here to take your money. There are people here who are saying you're talking about important issues, you're talking about climate change. Yeah, sure, that's the smokescreen. At the end of the day, what we want is cash.
It's true. We want your cash. Head to patreon.com/irrationalfear. And the other thing we want your money for, you'll hear about in a second. We should let people know that this is the kind of podcast where eventually we discover who gets murdered. But at the end of the season. And this show, you know, we're 130 episodes in.
Yeah.
So it's a long game. It's a long game.
Yeah, that's right. Much like a true crime podcast, it has been going on too long.
I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dumb, and Section 40. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, with Australia coming out of lockdown, Scott Morrison says he may not go to Glasgow as he has more important picnics to see back at home. And Prince Andrew has been served with a sexual assault lawsuit in the United States. The prince was quite accepting of the latest development, saying, no sweat. And after information leaks that the CIA considered killing Julian Assange for leaking information, Mike Pompeo asks for options to have himself assassinated. It's the 1st of October, and this is the podcast that Nancy Pelosi calls the best podcast in Australia. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Welcome to Rational Fear. I'm your host, former professional singing kebab Dan Illich, and let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. She's the queen of corporate comedy on LinkedIn, and she's probably considers herself a little bit snorty. Judge for yourself. From the Snortcast, it's Diana Nguyen.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome, Diana.
Oh, welcome. Thanks for welcoming, and I welcome myself. Thanks for having me.
You could just do it. You want to take over here and welcome Ben Jenkins? That'll be very good too. You know, from the checkout, win the week, the feed. You also might know him as your friend in the group chat who's always talking about how great it is to be sober in the pandemic. It's the intoxicating, but not intoxicated, Ben Jenkins. Welcome, Ben.
Hello.
How is sobriety going for you, Ben?
I don't know if you guys have ever done a stint of sobriety. but one of the things that they, it's very good, but one of the things that they don't tell you is that you can't be drunk ever. And that's a, I'd say that's its major drawback. I think if there's,
I was
a,
thinking of getting on board until I heard that fact, and now it's a no for me.
Yeah, no, they put it in the fine print.
I'm drinking right now. You can't stop me. And he's a man. I haven't actually written your intro, Lewis. I've had a big day. He's a man, Lewis Hover.
He's a man. That's it. That's all I get. Unbelievable. But you know what? An upgrade on the boy I used to be.
I still enjoyed introducing Craig Rucastle last week as former chaser boy, now chaser man.
He loves it.
Coming up, we're going to be talking with Kylie Tink, the new candidate for North Sydney. It's very excited, independent candidate. But first, we're going to message from our sponsor, a real sponsor. Well, sort of. It is us. We've actually got a new spin-off show starting once a month here on this feed, hosted by a very famous Australian. Have a listen. Here's the trailer.
Hello, Julia Zemiro here, and I've got a new podcast about politics for people who hate politics.
The Prime Minister is earning seats.
How can Australians have any confidence?
I know. Look, sometimes reading the news can make me feel powerless, so I started asking my friends, does anyone care? I found out that a lot of people do care.
What started as a fight for justice,
today's protest is proof it's not working.
We have to do it. We've got to see change.
I also discovered what happens in Canberra affects you, but here's the amazing thing. You can affect Canberra. Yeah. I'm feeling more powerful already. Once a month on the Irrational Fear podcast feed, I'll be asking, who cares? In my new podcast, Julia Zemiro asks, who cares? I know, I'm some kind of marketing genius. Some of the folks I'll be talking with you'll know, and some of them you won't. They'll be from all walks of life, making a difference in ways big and small. I want to excite you to listen, talk, think more about the choices we actually do have and how we can get active and learn just how powerful we can be. We have an election coming up, and I want us to know a bit more about what's happening out there so that when you go in to vote, you care. So grab your megaphone and yell.
What do we want?
Another podcast.
Where do we want it?
Only once a month for about 6 months. Thank you.
There you go. Jay-Z here at first on next Thursday. We're going to be taking a break, and Jay-Z is going to be taking over next Thursday's podcast. All right. This week's first fear. Scott Morrison has decided he won't go to the most historic global world leaders meeting in his tenure. That is the COP26 conference, climate change conference in Glasgow. Fearmongers, why won't Scott Morrison go to this very prominent event?
I mean, what's he gonna do? Like, if you had the option of just like, because what they're just asking him to turn up to Glasgow and eat shit, and like he deserves to eat shit. He should be eating shit. But if you have the option of not eating shit, you take that one, right? Like,
but isn't eating shit in Glasgow more exciting than eating shit here in Australia?
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I got to tell you. I would say the only thing that I'm enjoying about this entire prime ministership is how much this man fucking hates being prime minister. it's honestly the only thing that's keeping me sane. There's like one person having a worse time than a lot of people in lockdown, and it's Scott Morrison. I shouldn't be glib because obviously a lot of people are doing a lot harder than somebody who's got millions of dollars and absolute job security due to a stunning lack of opposition. But like, honestly, this man like wanted to be prime minister for all the kind of bells and whistles and sashes and nice trips and conferences where you get to wear cool clothes
and carpets and red carpets.
Yeah. And he's just picked the worst time in modern history to have this job And you're right, Dan. Like, that's what he just wants to be, whatever the prime ministerial equivalent of just kicking back in Hawaii is, he always wants to be doing it. And so he just goes to Hawaii and just does it. Like,
the meme is true, though. The meme kind of rings true that Scott Morrison does nothing. Like, everything he does is at the last minute, just as everything kind of gets to a crisis point so he can mess up handling that crisis. Everything just seems to be like, oh, no, someone else will worry about it until it becomes avoidable. It's like the buck stops with him with everything, but he's kind of forgotten that other people, that, like, he needs to look after stuff as well. It's such a strange environment for him to be.
But I do have like something that approaches but is not sympathy for him in this, because like I say, any other time in the time that he's been active in politics, that is the status quo. That is what you do, you know, passing the buck,
yep,
and just putting it off and just waiting for it to go away. Like 99% of problems. I'm not saying they should be solved this way. I think it's bad they're solved this way, but politically that has actually never been that much of a problem. And it's this guy's MO. And like I say, he's just picked the one time in history where that looks incredibly bad.
It's kind of like if you look at the end of, say, like Julia Gillard's prime ministership, at the end of it, she was friends with Rihanna. Now, at the end of Scott Morrison's prime ministership, he's going to be friends with what? Peter Dutton? That is a bad dinner.
Yeah.
That's not the same dinner party.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that even sports people are saying they're not going to go to the lodge or go to Kirribilli to have their photo taken with him anymore. It's such a very strange thing. Oh, gosh.
It's brilliant.
Hey, also on this story, a comedian wanted to buy one billboard but ended up running a welfare program for the neglected arts sector. I don't know if you saw this story. So remember last week on the podcast, you would have heard us talk about trying to raise $12,000 to put a billboard in Glasgow.
And for the record, at the time, I thought a bit greedy. I was like, all right, Dan. Look, I've been on this podcast every single episode since it started, and we haven't seen $12,000 in 10 years.
Yeah. No, we haven't. But anyway, so I ran this Indiegogo campaign. I put the post out 6 o'clock on Monday, and I should have known it was going to go off. You know, when we spoke about it on the podcast, we published the podcast on Friday, we mentioned if you want to find out about this project, make sure you join the email list. And over the weekend, like I saw 1, 2, 3, about 30 new people signed up to the email list. And I was like, well, this actually might be a problem. Like, we actually might.
I've never prepared for success before.
And let me tell you, exactly. All I want to do is pay this invoice and go to bed. And I thought, Lewis, you and I ran a Kickstarter campaign or Indiegogo campaign for Rational Fear back in 2014. We were trying to raise $50,000 and it took a month to raise. Mm. I got through this Indiegogo. I managed to raise $50,000 in like 2 days.
Yeah.
And now it's up to $112,000. But I've got a new plan. So I'm pivoting the whole campaign to call it Joke Keeper. And we're basically going to spend a whole stack of the money on billboards, yes, but a whole bunch of money on comedians who have been out of work to produce sketches for the election coming up. So it's a war chest to roll out for the election. It's like satire if the ABC didn't run it. Like the ABC has this hold on satire, but you're not actually allowed to say anything with it. So it's like satire, mm-hmm. but you can actually have a point. It's really exciting. Lewis, you don't have to answer. You don't have to talk about
Thank
it.
Thank you. I was about to say, as a current ABC employee, I have nothing to do with the billboard campaign, but I do think it's great. And obviously it's a bit complicating some on the podcast, but I'm not involved.
Yes. And Lewis, I want you to know you're not going to get a single cent of this. So
it's to me. I'm the struggling comedian. The struggling comedian over here.
The ABC barely pays me. Now the podcast gets money. They don't pay me.
Lewis, what do you want more? Lewis. Do you want to get paid $100 a week from the podcast, or do you want a job on national radio?
Honestly, that's a difficult decision right now.
So anyway, we've got these billboards to make. Have you guys got any thoughts about what billboards we should put up? Like ideas for climate change oriented billboards to make fun of the climate policies of the Australian government?
What about since the temperature's rising, we make the billboard, but the whole thing's like a mood ring that changes colour as it gets warmer, and we leave it up for 1,000 years.
That is great. I love that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
What about an ad for Fanta?
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Like the soft drink.
That's pretty. It's delicious.
They're owned by Coca-Cola.
This isn't the Hamish and Andy podcast.
It's a delicious beverage that people can buy in stores, and I think people would enjoy seeing that on a billboard to remind them of that beverage.
Yeah,
I may have missed the brief. I just heard billboards.
They're supposed to be Australia, represent Australia, so maybe it should be something like Durucci furniture. You know, like to see if he can boost the Derucci guy. In fact, isn't the Derucci guy a stock photo? Is that the truth?
Yeah, the Derucci guy.
You could buy the Derucci guy.
Ben, you would know this because you would have done this for the checkout, right? Surely.
Actually, no, I stole this fact from James Colley because he did it on Gruen.
Right.
And I'll do it again. he's a stock photo guy and he has a pipe. In the stock photo, he's got a pipe in his mouth. And when you know that, because they photoshopped the pipe out because they didn't want to be associated with pipes, I guess, for advertising standards. But when you know that he has a pipe, you realize that's one of the unsettling things about the image, that it's got a lack of pipe.
Mm. I'm going to be looking out for the Photoshop pipe next time I drive past the thousands of Derucci billboards.
You'll crash your car, Daniel. It's mesmerizing.
Diana, do you have any ideas for what should go on these billboards we're making around the world?
I was thinking like grow my bush or something. Help grow the bush. Or
that's good.
Have you considered approaching Lara Bingle? I know that when Scott Morrison was in Hawaii, Lara Bingle was one of the first and obviously most important people to tweet out "Where the bloody hell are you, Scott Morrison?" in the bushfires, which was obviously great stuff from her. I reckon
this is really interesting.
I think Lara Bingle, you know, I reckon obviously she's got the money now. We don't need to pay her too much. And I reckon she'd do it. I reckon she would do it. She seems like the kind of, I reckon that would be up her politics.
All right,
I want to pitch something to you guys. Yep. I want to pitch something to you guys.
listening.
Lara Bingle on a beautiful beach, reminiscent of the
2006.
Where the bloody, how are you? Yeah, 2006, where are you campaign. But it's a beach that's it's all ruined by climate change. Okay, there's the water's yucky. Ben, and there's
Ben, have you been reading everyone who's replied to me on Twitter with a teardrop in their name? Is that what you've been?
No, hear me out.
Have you been reading all of their tweets?
So she's there, and it's not a nice looking beach. And what's that in her hand? It's a beautiful bottle of Fanta. And the copy just reads Fanta.
Irrational fear.
That's a matter for the Queensland government.
I mean, that's a matter for the Premier.
That's a matter that I'll raise with other Premiers and Chief Ministers.
That's really a question to the Premier.
That's a matter I'm happy to take up with the other Premiers and Chief Ministers.
Irrational fear.
Hey, second fear this week. So a report came out on Yahoo News that said that the CIA had planned to
Is that the joke? And the report has come out on Yahoo News?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. BuzzFeed News has stopped doing news and Yahoo News saw there was a gap and said, we need another ridiculous person to take over the news. Let's be the new wacky news person. But they're doing journalism again. Yahoo's actually doing real journalism.
Yahoo.
So they had this report that said that the CIA was actively developing plans to kidnap or assassinate WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange during his London Ecuadorian embassy stay. This is a very, very strange story. Like, this is absolutely zany stuff. This is from the Trump administration, Mike Pompeo, all these guys who benefited from Julian Assange leaking material all of a sudden wanted to kill him. Why was that?
Yeah, well, they had the material. They didn't need any more.
That was easy.
I do. The thing, like, I know that killing people isn't funny, but
no,
it is.
Go on.
It is pretty. Like, can you imagine working in the CIA? It does feel like they get to assassination pretty quickly, pretty often. And it would be quite fun to be in all of their meetings. And you imagine there's just one guy. He's maybe called Steve. Yeah. And they're just like,
sure.
What are we going to do about Julian? And Steve's hand just goes up and everyone just goes,
shoots right
here
up.
Here we go. Here comes Steve. What is Steve?
I think the best course of action here is to terminate him.
It's like,
yeah, we thought so, Steve. We fucking thought so. Yeah. All right, moving on. Secret Santa.
We're going to terminate Santa too. Santa.
Again, Steve.
Yeah. Listening. Yeah. Anyone else you want
to? At one point, there's just a brief that comes through. It's like, what should we do with Steve? And Steve's like, oh, no. Oh, no.
I need to.
I've only got
one idea.
I think
it's clear, sir. I need to be taken out of the picture.
I do get the feeling that there are some assassinations which really are just to, like, let the whoever the reigning CIA Steve is, sort of just get it out of their system so they can get some work done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is like for when they retire as well, they can have a conversation with someone. Well, I was the guy who took out Assange. You know, I press go on that email.
Do you reckon they've got like a board of how many numbers of people they've killed? Like, you know, like a boys' room?
Yeah. I really enjoy this quote from the former counterintelligence officer saying, when Trump took office, there was a fundamental change. Nobody in that crew was going to be too broken up about the First Amendment issues. I was like, well, there you go. And Trump later was described as saying he was just spitballing. He didn't actually want to kill.
Just spitballing. Yeah, whatever. Look, if you're discussing a problem with the CIA, like, you're going to spitball to there, right?
Like, it's like, have we considered, running some sort of billion-dollar, drug importation scheme that we can blame on someone?
Yeah.
Or, of course, there's the classic, should we just kill them?
Spitballing.
But also,
it's a classic for a reason.
Wasn't there also, in terms of wacky schemes to do with Assange, didn't he have a wacky escape plan?
Oh, yeah, there was rumors that he was going to escape by Russians in a van or something, right?
Yeah, and there was like, it was like a classic sort of Ocean's 11 situation where they were going to bring in like a package that was going to be in a really big bag, and then he was going to have to curl up in the bag.
I think they tried that, but the bag had a hole in it. There was a WikiLeaks.
Do you remember the footage that ironically leaked out of the Ecuadorian embassy of Assange trying to learn to skateboard?
Didn't Pamela Anderson leak that herself?
She could have, yeah. Somebody sent him a skateboard.
Maybe the CIA sent him. He might break his neck.
Sir, if we sent him a skateboard, it's a very dangerous, very dangerous sport.
That's great. It's great. It really reminded me, because he's just trying it in a room, which is quite a small room, and it really reminded me of me trying to learn to skate in my bedroom, which you just can't do. Like you get to one wall and then you turn around and do the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, if what you currently need in your life right now.
Oh man, if you feel sorry for people living in the Ecuadorian embassy and then people below the Chilean embassy, they would have been very annoyed with the sound.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought like a great escape plan would be, because Julian Assange is so iconic, you know, he's an iconic looking man, and you could dress up 1,000 people to look like Julian Assange and swarm the Ecuadorian embassy and then disperse.
That's really good. Classic.
I thought that could be. Yeah, it's classic. Yeah,
or
everyone's done that.
Send in 1,000 guys who look like CIA agents and then you'll never know who killed him.
Of rational fear.
We're not going to achieve net zero in the cafes, dinner parties and wine bars of our inner cities.
That Australia trying to go for net zero emissions is like a 10-year-old boy who thinks he's Superman and jumps off his parents' roof. He doesn't have the technology and he's going to fall flat on his face.
Your fear is rational.
Next up, this is a warning for people who live in the seat of Fowler. An immigrant is moving to your suburb to buy a house. Yes, last week it was announced that Christina Keneally is moving to Fowler to kick out somebody else so that she can run for the lower house. This is a very strange story. She's leaving a perfectly fine Senate seat to go to a perfectly hardworking lower house seat. Like, why would Christina Keneally want to move to the lower house at all? Di?
Well, the houses are cheaper probably from the northern beaches. You can buy a couple of more houses in the west, couldn't you?
That's true. This is a strange story because, you know, the Labor, they're always pretending to be, you know, authentic and genuine, they want to be seen to be doing the right thing by the people that they represent, including removing a Vietnamese woman from running in that seat with somebody who has never had a connection with that seat at all. As someone of Vietnamese heritage, how do you feel about that?
I feel a bit redundant. Vietnamese people shouldn't do anything in Australia. I think that's what they're trying to say. What it's showing is that there is a kind of tokenism when Asians are needed. And I guess with the Labor Party, in this case, the Asian female Vietnamese politician wasn't needed. It was an immigrant from America. Female to represent the lower house. So disappointing.
Yeah, I did see them trying to sort of like, you know, when somebody sort of it usually happens on Twitter where they sort of try a line out and they're like, ah, that's rubbish, sorry. I saw them sort of trying to be like, well, actually, we're talking about two immigrants here. And then Roman just sort of like quite roundly went, shut the fuck up. And they went, right you are.
We're all just spitballing and we didn't get to assassination, so you got to give us that.
But isn't it strange, isn't it strange seeing Albo even step up and going, well, you know, and playing that same lie, just like, well, you know, she's an immigrant, you know, we got to embrace this story.
Yeah. It's funny, like, I know why they can't do it. Well, I know what the conventional wisdom, why the conventional wisdom says they can't do this, but like, it's so funny the way that like Labor especially has to tie themselves in knots to not just say the truth, which is like, this is all factional and there's like so much shit going on that's complicated behind the scenes that this is just how shit works and it shouldn't work this way and it's terrible that it works this way, but let's not pretend that that's not how it works. And instead having to do these like crazy contortions to make it seem like it's like a just thing that they're
doing. What's the real story, Ben, in terms of the Senate factions? What happened up in the Senate that meant that Christina Keneally got booted out?
Yeah, my understanding is that because of factional maneuvering, she got bumped to the third place in her Senate ticket, which is not a safe place. So there was actual danger that she was going to lose her upper house seat. Is that right?
We can ask our next guest.
She got done over in the Senate internally from Labor, and so they're trying to shift her to a safer seat in the lower house. Potentially also because she at least might harbor leadership ambitions. And you know, there are people in the party that really rate her. I mean, I do think that's one of the funny things about this whole story, that like all her defenders are like, well, she's actually an incredibly savvy political operator. And then you look at how she's handled this whole thing, and it's like watching someone trying to fix a fucking watch with bricks for hands. And it's like, oh man, if she could bring this like political nous against the Liberals, then she'd be unstoppable. Like, yeah, there's not a lot of skill on display here. Even if that's like the mercenary reason you're saying, oh, we should fuck over this young woman because, you know, we're going to get this incredible heavy hitter in. The way that she's conducted herself, even like on those terms, isn't impressive.
Remember when Barnaby Joyce was asked about why they weren't going to rein in like the COVID conspiracy theorists? And he's just like, well, we need the votes. And
yeah.
And you were like, oh, he said it. And it kind of shut the whole thing down. Everyone was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, obviously that's right, and that makes you a cunt, but you're not wrong.
Well, is that the same? Is that the same approach that you take to when Barnaby says, "Oh, well, you're at the ABC, like, you've got to say whatever the government says."
That's right, and I do. Whatever they goddamn please.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here supporting Barnaby Joyce. I think he's honest. He's straight talking. He tells it how he is.
John Englert on the YouTube says, media beats up on Keneally versus Two, ignores the greater problem of gender and diversity in the coalition. Well, this is true. The coalition isn't as diverse as Labor, that's for sure. Di, what would you do to increase gender and diversity in the coalition?
Look, I think there's a no-go for me in the coalition. I'll just stay away. But I was just going to ask you, Dan, like, you raised all this money. I could run as an independent if, you know, you could.
This is a great idea. Yes. Now we're talking.
It's true.
Yeah. We could.
Yeah. What seat? What seat, Diana? What seat? Do you want to run? Do you want to run against Keneally?
I just love the Northern Beaches. I would just love to be there.
Parachute you in.
You could, because there's going to be a house in Scotland Island that's going to be available. It's only accessible by boat.
I've lived in Sydney for, I don't know, 10 years. I don't know. Where is Scotland Island?
Yeah. It's in Pittwater.
Scotland Island is, it's in Pittwater. It is an island. It's not in Scotland, so it's one out of two ain't bad. But yeah, it's just ferries there and back.
The new nickname for Scott Morrison is Scotland Island because that's him on his own in Scotland.
Maybe instead of going to Glasgow for COP26, he can just go to Scotland Island.
Scotland Island.
I visited Keneally. What do you want?
Irrational fear.
The French have always liked to stand a bit aloof from Les Anglos, and we've never had the kind of intimacy with the French, good friends and all that they are. They're not family.
Irrational fear.
She's North Sydney's new independent candidate, and it's going to be an exciting race. According to her LinkedIn, she's a successful business operator and NFP campaigner, tenacious, intelligent, and compassionate. Well, you know, according to us, that sounds a bit arrogant, don't you think? Please welcome to the podcast, Kylie Tink. Welcome, Kylie. Oh,
thanks, Dan. I thought you were going to tell me it sounds like a dating profile, actually. So I think I'll take the arrogance over the dating profile.
Well, no, it actually does sound like a dating profile. In a way, this is your next 6 months is dating an electorate. How's it going? Has anyone caught your eye?
I've actually got to say it's been a bit of a roller coaster. It's been a hell of a ride, not expecting it to be as amazing as it has been. You know, we launched only last Saturday, so we're 10 days into a campaign, and already we've got, you know, hundreds of people walking around the North Shore electorate in a pink T-shirt that says Team Tink, which is kind of bizarre when you're the Tink and you're looking at all these people walking around with your name on them. So it's actually extraordinary. And actually, Diana, I just wanted to say, sorry, Dan, McKellar is looking for an independent candidate to run. McKellar's up Palm Beach way.
Well, I forgot so to maybe that's the Northern Beaches. I'm actually from Melbourne, so.
Hey.
And Christina Keneally's from Scotland Island. It's not stopping that. So independents can bounce as well.
Holly, which seat are you standing in?
I am Ben sponsored by Fanta.
Yep.
Yeah, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Ben, I am running for the seat of North Sydney, which is Sydney. Funnily enough, on the northern side of the bridge.
It's slightly north. Yeah.
So who are you taking down, Kylie? Who are you hoping to take down?
I am running against a gentleman called Trent Zimmerman, who is, actually he's a really, really nice guy. I've met Trent a number of times. He's just seems to have this issue where he's completely ineffective because he's a government backbencher and so actually has less power than anybody else in the parliamentary system. So he talks one way. He is a climate advocate and, you know, has spoken a lot about protecting the Great Barrier Reef. But then when legislation comes up in the House, he actually voted against it. So he's a bit confused.
It's something that a lot of the people in this climate independent movement talk about. They say, you know, well, the good guys are good, but they vote the same way as the bad guys. So who the hell are you, Kylie? And how dare you try and vote against the good guys?
Thank you for asking, Dan. That's a good question, Dan. Isn't that what Lewis said earlier? Actually, Dan, well, if you believe the media, according to a newspaper article recently, I'm the problem that the government has at the moment. People like me who are a little bit tired of waiting for middle-aged men to get it right, and so we're deciding to stand up and actually call it out and say that we actually think Australia can be and do better. So if you'd told me 18 months ago that this was what I would be doing, I would have laughed almost as hard as I've been laughing listening to you guys waiting to come in. But here I am, and I just couldn't be more honoured.
This is a big ask, and it's an extremely stressful process. How did you come to the conclusion that you wanted to put yourself through this process over the next 6 months?
Really seriously, there was a moment for me last September where our Prime Minister came into the state of New South Wales and said to the public, if New South Wales would not build a gas-fired power station in our state, then the federal government would build it and they would use federal electric money to do that. And this kind of ding went off in my head and I just thought there's something wrong with this, you know, like New South Wales doesn't want it, but the federal government wants to build it. What's going on here? And then the next morning I heard Mike Cannon-Brookes from Atlassian came out and said that the Prime Minister saying that to our country was the equivalent of him going to work the next day and telling all of his programmers they could only work with an abacus. And it was like somebody dropped a cat in my lap. I suddenly went, oh, that makes so much sense. You know, like this doesn't make business sense. What our Prime Minister wants to do is illogical and irrational. So I think that's when I first decided I had to stand up and say, because I have been a successful businesswoman, Dan, thank you very much, this isn't good business. So that's when I decided it was time to go into politics.
That same catalyst is the same for a lot of folks. I mean, this is in particular for me, I started to go, hang on, what the hell is going on when during a pandemic that the group of people they get together, the National COVID Commission, get together and they decide the best way to handle the pandemic is to build a gas pipeline. Like, I'm not a doctor, but it doesn't quite make any kind of sense. I was so enraged after 6 months. And of course, Greg Hunt wasn't looking at his emails in that 6 months because he was like, oh no, the National COVID Committee's got it sorted out. But it was just crazy to think that. And just really, it just
look, I say
me.
We try it.
You know what?
We haven't seen it play out.
It's very easy to snipe from the sidelines.
We don't know the gas pipeline can't fix it. Yeah, that's true.
You know what I think it is, though? The problem is that we've got, to me, that's an approach of, you know, we've got a government that's obsessed with still selling VHS cassettes when the rest of the world is live streaming or listening to your podcast. You know, like they just don't seem to want to step into this new century. Ooh. And that's got multiple issues for us, you know, not only for our kids and their kids in terms of the world that they'll be growing up in environmentally, but economically, Australia stands to get left behind. You know, we should be a renewable superpower. We have more natural resources in this country than any other country on the face of the planet. And yet we still want to hang on to that little brown rock and pass it backwards and forwards in Parliament. So we can do better. And I think it just takes normal people like us to stand up and say, you know what, politics is about the people, not the party. So we're taking it back.
Kylie, tell us a little bit about your history. How did you get to this point? Like, how did you get to the point where you're like, you know what, I've done enough. I want to ruin my career and go into politics.
So I think I'm a born campaigner, actually, Dan. So I'm one of four kids. I grew up in a small country town out in northwest New South Wales called Coonabarabran. Coonabarabran's very excited because at the last census, their population grew from 3,000 to 3,001, and we got to change the signs as you come into the town. So it's a great little town that hasn't moved a lot and has a really strong culture that when you want to get stuff done, you lean in together. You know, that's how we had the tennis courts built. That's how we got the youth centre built. So I grew up in an environment where I just knew that if you wanted to make the place better, you just had to find the right group of people to work with to make that happen. So over my career, I've worked in areas as diverse as domestic violence advocacy. I've worked in tobacco control. I've worked in sun protection. I've worked with the HIV/AIDS community. I've worked with kids in immigration detention centres and young Australians doing it tough with mental health. I've done a lot of work in cancer.
Oh, you already sound like a politician. Young Australians doing it tough. Oh, that's great gear. That's good gear. You'll be doing that on A Current Affair in no time.
I had that line before I was a politician. Thank you very much, Dan.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
But one of my most amazing experiences I was the CEO at an organisation called the McGrath Foundation for 6 years, where I went in just after Jane passed away. And because I really respected Jane and I wanted to see the idea that she had come to fruition. And I just had this 6-year experience of, you know, we were 5 nurses when I went there. And by the time I finished, we were 100 nurses. The Sydney Pink Test had been born and all these things that people said couldn't be done had suddenly been achieved. So I think for me, that's fundamentally what drives me. I love that question, why? And then the extension of it, of why not? You know, why can't we do it differently? And to me, that's what's pretty amazing about campaigning at the moment. Actually, I'm running an amazing group of volunteers. We're a community organisation and we're standing up against some pretty big machines in the form of the parties. But people are joining us. You know, they're coming out and saying we want to be counted too. So I don't know where this will go, honestly, guys. I just think that it's a bit like your billboards. If you can do something that disrupts the conversation enough that other people stand up and take notice, I think that's a pretty amazing thing to have the capacity to do. So I'm all for your billboards, Dan. And if you want to put a billboard in the North Sydney electorate saying we've looked from A to Zimmerman and can't find Trent anywhere, where is he on the environment? I will back you into doing that all the way.
Oh, well, you know, look, Kylie, technically I'm not allowed to support any candidate, but I am allowed to berate others. So you may find billboards, but of me attacking Trent Zimmerman, but I won't be able to actually support you.
And also saying, you know, maybe some choice things about a delicious orange beverage.
Fanta. Hang on, we lost Lewis for 1 second. Let me just call him. He had a blackout.
He had a blackout.
He's in the car.
Is that a true story?
Hello.
Lewis, did you have to leave the podcast because we started to get political and you were just worried about losing a job at the ABC?
I was like, this is going to cost me a small amount of money. I've got to go.
What happened? Where did you go?
The whole, my suburb has lost power. I thought it was my fuse, but there's a whole street-wide blackout. I've just been meeting my neighbours for the first time.
I tell you what, if Kylie was a professional politician already, she'd say, well, this is the problem with coal power. You can't trust it.
I feel nervous. I don't know what I'm going to stream. I've already started just painting faces on a coconut. Things are going bad.
That was me last week with the earthquake. I was like, this is it. We're done.
Well, Kylie, thank you so much for joining us on Irrational Fear, and thanks everyone for joining us. Do you guys have anything to plug? Diana, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, if you're a snorting fan, I've got a podcast called The Snortcast, and if you know Keanu Reeves, I am still chasing him, so please bring him my way.
And you're also raising money for a climate project. Who are you raising money for?
Climate for Change is doing an October fundraiser. They're raising $300,000. One of our ambassadors, Judith Lucy, they're actually on live right now. Hope to raise $300,000. So,
excellent. Yeah. And we are supporting Climate for Change too. We've given them a billboard. So if you want to go to Climate for Change and buy that billboard, you can decide what goes on it. Ben, do you want to plug anything?
I have a podcast called Free to a Good Home that I do with Lewis's radio partner, actually, Michael Hing, where we go through classifieds and find ones to talk about. I'd say that's a bad plug for it, but really there's no other way of putting it. That's the show.
Can I say it is a show that does talk in the first 5 minutes incessantly about Fanta. So just be aware of that. The snack report is always filled with Fanta. No, Free to a Good Home is one of the funniest podcasts in Australia. It is an absolute cack. Make sure you listen to it. So is the Snortcast. And Lewis, do you want to plug anything? Do you want to plug like Energy Australia?
I'd like to plug Candle. I'd like to plug Gas Lamp. I'd like to plug windmill.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to plug anything that would help me turn my TV on.
And Kylie Tink. Kylie, what would you like to plug?
I would like to plug everybody getting up and listening to you guys every week because I think you're good for the soul, but also for people to really think about where they stand on the issues that we've had so much fun talking about tonight. You know, they're big issues and it's our turn to stand up and make the difference when it comes to them. So get involved, get out there and don't just accept the status quo.
Thank you very much, Kylie. Really appreciate it. Big thanks to Road Mics, our Patreon supporters, Jacob Round. Also, if you want to support Joke Keeper, who is keeping us alive, head to irrationalfear.com or Indiegogo or anywhere on social media to find the link to Joke Keeper. You know, we've only met 10% of our target for Joke Keeper. We still need $900,000 to go. I want to thank our Patreon supporters, Karen Organ, Courtney, James, Julie Woods, Jeremy, Siobhan Clare, Fran Mural, Matthew Dunmore, Paul, Alistair, Adam KB, Chris Kazan, Claire, and Dan Ziffer also became a Patreon member this week. So big thank you to all those new Patreon members. Big thank you to you for listening. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night. Oh, yes, next week, listen to Julia Zumiro Asks Who Cares? That's the first episode.